Welcome to the Midnight Writers Podcast, helping authors become better writers.
Episode 12, Finding an Editor. This is John.
This is Lena.
This is Amy.
I'm Amity.
Hello. Okay, so we've all been published, at least some, to some extent, self-published in an anthology, or you've got several books. And then you go through a... Do you self-publish? Or no, you don't?
No, I've never self-published before.
Okay, so who's your press that you use?
Well, I have... the one that I'm working with right now is Trigidae, and they are based locally. And so it's funny that we're talking about editors. I've never self-published, so I've never paid an editor, you see. But if I was to actually self-publish something, I would pay an editor for sure. I feel like that's a huge issue. You know, we're not going to get into that right now. But like with Strigidae, there's an editor in-house. And, you know, I'll get my edits back and we'll work together. And that's the same way with any other press that I've ever worked with. They have an in-house editor that we work closely with. You know, we send things back and forth, and that's how we get the editing done.
Cool. Yeah, editing is definitely important. We've all
hugely
read books that have not been edited well, and it really takes you out of the story.
It does. It's hard to read.
Whether it's been through a small press or indie published or anything, so.
Well, and it also, like, for me as a reader, it definitely affects if I'm going to read any more of your books.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, if you can't take the time to actually make sure your stuff is actually as professional as you can possibly make it, I'm not going to bother with you.
Absolutely, I agree.
So then for those of us who don't have a small press and who are indie publishing, how do you go about finding an editor?
I found mine through a internship. Actually, I was doing an internship for a publisher here in the Springs, and she was also doing an internship, and we became friends, and we made a deal, and she became my editor then. My second editor, I met at Indie Romance Convention, and she started out with, well, let's do your newsletter, and if you like my style of editing, then maybe we can move on to bigger things. And from there, we made not only a friendship, but a business partnership. And she went on to do my proofing, and she does a lot of my short stories when Jennifer's not available. And I work with them.
I've met a lot of editors at conventions, mm-hmm. and that is an excellent place to meet and actually pitch at conventions. I'm never going to stop saying that. You have to pitch at conventions to get anywhere. But, you know, there were two new editors, and after a panel at Starfest last weekend, this one, she had just launched her business, and she came up and she stuck a business card in my hand, you know, and I was like, what are you trying to say? No, I'm kidding. So
I'm taking Jennifer, who just branched out to start a business in editing, with doing it under Wise Owl Word Polishing. I'm taking her to AnomalyCon this year for that, yeah. to help her network.
Mm-hmm. Great place to do it is conventions. I've met a lot. I've never actually hired one, but I've met tons and tons of editors at conventions.
And they have to network like the rest of us.
Yeah, they do.
That's a good point. So what if... Okay, editors can be quite expensive. Mm-hmm. So what do you do if you can't afford an editor? Do you just say, oh, well, I'll do my best and publish it?
Absolutely not. Never.
Please don't eat for a week.
Do not ever do that. Wait until you can get help with your stuff. And then if you're self-publishing, I would wait until you have the money or you know, find a way to get it edited. You can't just send your stuff out.
The two I work with will actually take payments. So they'll break it down to payments for you. Use your resources. If you've got people in college, there might be some people looking for a little bit of extra cash. I wouldn't say, hey, you know, this is great exposure if you do this for me for free. I did have a deal originally when I started with Jennifer where it was she could use it for her resume and her portfolio in exchange for editing for me and a bag of coffee. Now I pay her because I can, because I've gotten to that point where I can, but use your resources. Mm-hmm. There are people out there, talk to some local authors. A lot of them are willing to help out because they've been where you are.
and use Google, because there are editors out there that are just starting, and they will have their prices cheap because they're trying to get build their portfolio so that they can get into the more professional pay rates. So,
just a thought there. I mean, I'm all for everybody getting started and everything, but you probably should vet carefully, because, you know, they're a new editor and they might be quite good and they might be quite bad. So I would definitely check them out.
A lot of editors will edit a sample for you before making a deal. So in the case with Jasmine, she did my newsletters first. And then she moved on to a short story, and it was like, okay, yeah, we meshed together well. I know that you know your stuff. You're not just using Microsoft Grammar Check, or heaven forbid, something like, what's that one that's automated?
Grammarly.
Yeah, Grammarly, which, you know, catches some stuff, but then other stuff, it's basically Microsoft Word grammar.
That would be like trusting one of those robot cars that drive for you. See,
I'm glad I'm not the only one who can't trust those. And I saw a scary thing on androids last night too. And but besides the point,
I would trust those with other drivers. I don't trust other drivers.
But ask them to do a sample for you so that you can vet them a little bit.
I almost hired an editor one time. For The Witcher Time, the one that I've sent out to beta readers that we've talked about a couple times. And I saw his contract, and he's very good. And, I mean, I spent a lot of time and just, you know, deliberating about whether this is what I wanted to do. And he sent me his contract and everything, and he sent me all kinds of samples, and he sent me a list of other authors that he has worked for, which was huge, because I knew some of the authors on that list, and that way I knew I could trust his work. Yeah. Yeah, huge. Important thing is definitely the references. If they are just, you know, coming out of the blocks and they probably haven't done anything really great, you might want to be careful, because I really do believe that also this would be another arena where you sort of get what you pay for too. I know it can be killer expensive, but, you know, you kind of have to look at what you're going to be getting.
Yeah. If you got a newer editor, you definitely want to check that against other people. You don't want to rely just on that one person who's just getting started. So,
And contracts you brought up, that's another important thing when it comes to editors. I get invoices from my editors, so I know, you know, when the payments are due, and, you know, I know what their price per word is, or whatever the deal we happen to make was. But I happened to see a thing on Facebook the other day about people who are calling themselves editors and who are asking for a percentage of sales. Don't do that.
No.
Don't fall into that trap.
No.
So you have to be careful. I mean, like anything, check them out, Google them, check what their contract says, ask for a sample.
Yeah, they shouldn't be mixing their business with yours at all. I mean, yours is like a one-time thing. They do something for you and that's it. I wouldn't give up any piece of my intellectual property to someone like that. But I haven't seen it yet.
So when you've sent your story off to an editor and you get them back, how many times do you go back and forth with an editor typically?
Depends. I was working with the press, when I was working with the Laura's Cave, I think we went back 3 or 4 times. When I did XOXO Publishing, we went back just once because it was a short story and there wasn't a whole lot there. When it's my editors, I thoroughly use my beta readers first. And then I go through once with Jennifer, and she's very communicative. So I say, hey, I got a question on this, or, you know, I have to reword something, she's okay with me sending, you know, the paragraph to her. Hey, is this what you were talking about? And then for novels, I use Jasmine to proofread for that final before I hit the submit button before I put it up there.
Twice is the top number that I've ever went back and forth with any project. But, you know, to add to what you said, my stuff has gone through my critique group and beta readers before an editor at a press has ever laid eyes on it. So I don't have to worry about, like, something huge with it. Just, you know, maybe if they want to tweak a certain way or, you know, maybe combine a couple chapters, you know, just easy stuff like that. So, yeah, 2 times is it... normally it's just once, easy little fixy stuff, and send it right back.
because that's what the beta readers are there for, to catch all those big things. And
yeah.
I'm sure in the traditional world, you wouldn't have gotten far without the beta readers catching those big things first.
It's really important. And it kind of sounds like, you know, we're making slaves out of the beta readers. That's not the case. These are people who enjoy our work,
they
and they do it for a reason. They get to read our stuff first. It's the only thing out there that's better than, like, an ARC.
and if they love it, they will promote the heck out of it.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
So we have a question from Brittany on Facebook. It says, what is one thing that you wish your editors would or would not do?
Whew.
I don't know, because mine, we're pretty open with, like, hey, you know, unless it doesn't make sense, don't touch the dialogue because the characters speak that particular way. But because we use, like, track changes, I can see all the edits. When I was working with Alora's Cave, there were some things that were put in there without my permission that were not in the final. And then I happened to need to go through there for a reason or another, and I was like, oh, that is a word I don't use. Why is that in there? But that's the only incident that I've ever had where I was like, oh, I wish my editor wouldn't do this.
Right.
So make sure track changes is used so you can approve every change.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very important.
That's important. And I mean, I've never really had an editor do anything like that. Only that is one thing that I would say I would hate it if my editor did that. That would, you know, be a huge issue for me. I have a really great relationship with anybody who's ever edited for me because they're normally working for the press that's getting ready to publish my stuff. So we're working for a common goal. So we automatically have a really great relationship anyway. So I would say for anybody who's ever edited anything for me, thank you and keep it up, you know, because it's worked out great.
So do we have any final questions or anything to discuss about editors?
I had a question. What's the price range? Like, what are you looking at to, you know, pay an editor? Like, how much should I be saving up?
It depends on who you go to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I use mine so frequently, we have different deals than what they offer because it's like a returning customer discount.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'd say I probably spend $300 to $400 a book between both editors. Short stories, I've seen anywhere from $15 to $40 to $50. I was in one of my anthologies, I was required to use a particular editor, and that one was $40 for 6,000 words, I think it was.
The one contract where I almost hired an editor, that was $1,100 for a full length novel, and he would have been worth every single penny.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Writers Podcast. If you've enjoyed this content, sign up for our newsletter on our website, midnightwriterssociety.com, where you'll get a lot more great information. See you next Wednesday.